بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We move on to hadith number 10 in the book of Umdat al-Ahkam. And who would give us the honor of reading the hadith? Muhammad Aman, that is. Okay.
Aisha radiallahu anha reported, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam loved to start from the right-hand side in all his affairs, in putting on the shoes, in combing the hair, in acts of purification.
Okay. This great hadith, we learn from it an etiquette of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, though it suits our topic, which is wudu. And as stated before, if I begin with my left arm in wudu and then my right, this is permissible. However, I will be losing the reward. Why? Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as Mother Aisha says, used to love to start from the right-hand side in all of his affairs, in putting on his shoes, in combing his hair, and in the acts of purification. Now, not all acts of purification he used to use the right hand. This is referring to performing wudu, or in the case of performing ghusl, as we will come to know inshallah. But if you're going to purify your private parts, for example, do you use your right or your left? I use my left. So right hand is used to the honored things. And we all know the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he said, whenever someone of you drinks, eats, gives, or takes, he should use his right hand. Why? The Prophet says, because shaitan drinks, eats, gives, and takes by using his left hand. So it is not recommended for us to imitate, to mimic, to do as shaitan does. And likewise, in honorable things, we always use our right hands. For example, when we put on our shoes, we use our right foot first. When we wear our t-shirt or shirt, we use our right hand side first. When we bathe for ghusl, we wash the right hand side first. When we enter the masjid, it's an honorable thing. We're leaving this dunya and entering the masjid, we use the right foot. But when we're coming out, we use our left foot, because we're coming to the dunya. And likewise, but the opposite. When we go to the toilets, we enter by our left and we come out using the right foot forward, first of all. So this was the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. However, if I were to ask you about what a lot of the Muslims nowadays do when entering a room or an elevator or a building, if you're two or three, who goes in first? The one on the right hand side. Is this a sunnah? No, it's not a sunnah. But if you understand this hadith of Aisha, that the Prophet loved to use the right in everything, then you do this. Nevertheless, this is not always the case in Islam. In Islam, there are things that must start from the right, but there are things that you must begin with the age, for example. So, if three come to me and want to speak to me, who should speak first? The right? No, the eldest. And that is why in the Sahih al-Bukhari and elsewhere, when a man was killed, three of his relatives came. The closest one to him, his brother, I think, wanted to speak, but the Prophet said, no, make the eldest among you three address me. So it is an issue of delicacy, when to start with the eldest and when to start from the right-hand side. For example, the Prophet was given, alayhi salam, once something to drink, milk or water. And he had people on his right and people on his left. The one on his right was the youngest. And most likely he's Ibn Abbas. So the Prophet ﷺ did not go for the eldest. He asked permission. He said, do you mind if I give it to the eldest who was on my left? What did Ibn Abbas say? No, I do mind. No, I don't allow this, Prophet of Allah. How do you think I would allow others to drink your leftovers, which is all barakah, and deprive myself from it? La wallah, I'm the one worthy of doing it. So he drank from it. Therefore, this hadith is limited to what we know. You cannot expand it all the way, but there is no harm in doing that, as long as it does not go against other evidences from the Sharia. So for example, if two or three are entering, I would recommend that they always start from the right, because this way you save time. Please go in. No, please go in. No, please go in. It takes half an hour. My day is gone. But by default, if you're in a lift, who's the first one to leave? The one on the right. And the other one, the other one, the other one. Everything goes smoothly and in order. Likewise, a lot of the people say, why do you wear your watch on your right-hand side? And I say, why should I wear it on the left-hand side? Everybody's wearing it on the left-hand side. I said, everybody, where did the watches come from? They came from the kuffar, and they started wearing it on the left. So if I intend to go against their way and wear it in the right, and if I intend that the Prophet used to love to start everything using his right, and I wear it in the right, I hope that I'm rewarded. Is it sunnah? No. Watch out. Don't go to the extreme. Don't go to the extreme and looking at, oh, look at these, astaghfirullah, imitating the kuffar, wearing it in their left hand. Everybody's wearing it in the left hand. You're the one who's weird. So it is not part of black or white. No. It is something up to you. If I wear it in my left hand side, is there anything wrong with that? Nothing. Did I become a kafir? No, alhamdulillah. So it is not a big issue, but again and again, if I see someone doing something, that is probable, it's possible. He's following Aisha's hadith. Khalas, alhamdulillah, jazakallah khair. Yes, but the Prophet did not have a watch. Yes, but he loved to do everything starting with his right. And wearing it in my right, I think that this is a good thing. And it's an issue that can, inshallah, be acceptable in all cases. Hadith number 11, hadith Abi Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. Who will read it for us, inshallah?
Nu'aym bin Abdullah al-Mujmir reported, I saw Abu Huraira perform ablution. He washed his face, then washed his hands until he almost reached his biceps. He then washed his feet until he reached the legs and then said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, my ummah will be called on the day of judgment with brightness in their forehead, faces, arms, and legs from the traces of ablution. He who can afford among you, let him increase the brightness of his forehead and that of hands and legs. In another narration from Muslim, a believer adornment would reach the places where ablution reaches.
Okay. Now the hadith of Nu'aym al-Mujmir, may Allah have mercy on him, he's one of the tabi'een. He said that I saw Abu Huraira performing wudu. And in another narration, Abu Huraira did not know. So as he was washing, he reached up to the biceps. And he washed his feet up to the middle of his legs, not only to the ankles. And when they said, Abu Huraira, what are you doing? He said, Bani Farrukh, oh you sons of Farrukh. Farrukh, it was stated that he was one of the sons of Ibrahim. Peace be upon him. We know of two. And those are Ismail and Ishaq. Farrukh, they say he is the father of all the people in the north. Scandinavians. It's a history. It can be true, it can be false. And he is telling them, Bani Farrukh, yani you are non-Arabs from the north. of Roman origin. If I knew that you were looking, I would not have done this. And then he explained. He said that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, my ummah will be called on the day of judgment with, now between brackets, I wrote brightness in their forehead, faces, arms, and legs. In the Arabic word, in the hadith, it's called muhajjalin. Muhajjalin in Arabic is a description of the white area of the horses found on his face, well, on forehead when the horse is black, and found on his legs when the whiteness. So the Prophet tells us, as the horse looks in this fashion, which a black horse with white spots looks very beautiful, the Muslims also will come on the day of judgment with such brightness. They will be easily identified by the signs of wudu, by the signs of ablution. Then Abu Hurairah goes on to say, he who can afford among you, let him increase the brightness of his forehead and that of his hands and legs. Now, this was not the saying of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. In hadith, this is known as mudraj, inserted. When is that? It is when the Prophet says something and the companion, may Allah be pleased with him, reports that or narrates that, and all of a sudden he says something from his own, yet those who heard it from him think it was the Prophet saying. For example, there are a number of hadiths where the Prophet says so and so and so, and then the companion says, I wish I was a tree to be cut down. The Prophet did not say that. But those tabi'een and those compilers of the hadith, when they heard the hadith, they narrated it, all of it. So likewise here, the first portion is authentic, that the people on the day of judgment, the Muslims, will come with bright foreheads, arms, and legs because of the wudu. Now, it is Abu Huraira's understanding of increasing it to the biceps and to the middle of the legs. So he said to them, so whomever among you is able to increase his brightness, let him do so. Did the Prophet say this? No, but because he said it in the same context, they thought two for one. And that is why the scholars said that this is an insertion. This is mudraj. This is not from the Prophet saying. How do you know? They said because one is unable to extend this in the fashion that was mentioned, because the ghurra, al-ghurra as in the hadith, is only in the head, not in the legs. The Arabic hadith, فَمَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمْ فَلْيُطِلْ غُرَّتَهُ. And the ghurra is only on the head, not on the feet. So this was not definitely from the Prophet ﷺ saying. Now, the question that may come into our minds, should we follow the sunnah of Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, or not? What do you think? Should we wash until the biceps or not? We should not. Why? We will give you the answer, inshallah, after the break. So stay tuned.